Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be in the house of God this morning. Certainly good to see everybody. Would like to say I certainly appreciate this invitation. Appreciate Brother Randy inviting me to come to this meeting. First time I've ever been here. Really have enjoyed it. The preaching's just been wonderful. Been great to be with Brother Gabbard, Brother Barnett. Appreciate these great, great men. I tell you what. All these great saints of God, Brother Webb, the church, I tell you what, I appreciate all of y'all. God bless you. Thank you for the nice place to stay and just great accommodations, great food. I tell you what, you don't get any better than that to me, that them beans and greens. I'm telling you what, that's my kind of eating. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. I want to read this morning the book of Exodus chapter 15 and also another verse over in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We could probably all quote it together. Really the recipe for revival, what you find in that. Maybe just give you a quick word of testimony here this morning. I've told this different places across the country, but I had to go out west here about 3 years ago, I guess it was, and I was on my way back. I flew from Albuquerque to Denver and was going to catch a plane there in Denver, fly back to Atlanta. Of course, I live in Georgia. And we got on the plane, got buckled in. I thought, well, we're getting ready to take off, and the pilot gets up. He said, I'm going to have to ask everybody to get off this plane. He said, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen. They found a soft spot in the floor, and he said, they're not going to let us fly this plane. You know, somebody said, it's not that fall I'm worried about. It's that sudden stop. Yeah. So I thank God they found it before we got 30-something thousand feet up in the air. You know what I mean? Well, a little over 2 hours later, we get on another plane, and, I got a seat next to the windows, a much bigger plane, three seats on each side of the aisle. There was a gentleman got on the plane next to me. He's real talkative, he's real friendly, and I could immediately smell alcohol on his breath. He found out I was a preacher, you know, and he threw up his hands. He said, praise the Lord, I'm a believer too. Yeah. And, you know, we're taking off. He's over there doing his Hail Marys, you know, throwing up his hands, praising the Lord. He said, I was behind this man in line the other day, and he said, I overheard him. He said, oh, God, I need a cigarette. He said, I kept listening to him. Said, I heard him again. He said, oh, Jesus, I need a cigarette. He said, so I just went to my car, said, I had a couple of cigarettes. I got him one, brought him one back, handed it to him, said, God heard your prayer. Well, I tell you, that's the kind of people we're dealing with, you know, in this world. I mean, you know, we get up so high after a while, that stewardess comes around serving those drinks. He asks one of them alcoholic beverages. Well, he offered to buy me one, you know. I'll just stick with this ginger ale. Thank you, sir. Come around the second time, he got that second alcoholic beverage. And I'm over there trying to read a little bit, trying to rest a little, minding my own business. He's been real talkative, real friendly to that stewardess. She come around the third time. He asked for that third drink, and she turned him down. I don't know what she said to him, but that upset him. Now, he proceeded to tell her, I'm a paying customer. I ought to be able to get what I pay for, you know. I'm not drunk. I mean, just on and on. She finally called another stewardess over. They're both trying to reason with him, trying to calm him down. Well, in the process, they brought him a cup of coffee. I guess they thought we're going to try to sober him up a little, you know. And now he told, what I'm telling you is a fact with my hand up. I mean, some of them real spiritual guys, you know, used to say that, Wendy Bagwell, Jerry Clower. I don't know if y'all spiritual enough to know anything about them. But anyway, what I'm telling you is a fact with my hand up. He told him, he said, now listen, in so many words, I'm going to give you a sobriety test. He said, I'm going to take this coffee. I'm going to set it on top of my head, and I'm going to balance it on my head. That stewardess said, no, please, sir, don't do that. And I'm telling you, God being my witness, that man took that cup of coffee, set it on top of his head. I'm sitting over there looking at him. He balanced it on his head. He took it. He set it back down. They're still trying to reason with him. Looked like making no progress whatsoever. It just come to me. I thought, well, he's a religious man. He might appreciate this. I reached out there and tapped him on the arm. I said, hey, buddy, do you think we could have a word of prayer? Oh, yes, sir. He reached out there and grabbed me by the hand. He reached out there and grabbed that stewardess by the hand. He wants her to get in on this prayer meeting, too. I'm telling you, we had us a little prayer meeting right there on that airplane. Now, I just said a simple little prayer. I said, now, Lord, you know all the stress this man's been under today. Lord, would you just calm his nerves? Just give him peace in Jesus' name. Amen. He turned loose of my hand. He said, oh, thank you that I feel such peace. That stewardess, she stood up. She looked over at me. She said, thank you. She feeling some of that peace, too, up there. I'm telling you, the rest of that flight, that man, he kept thanking me. He said, oh, said, I feel such peace. He said, I didn't need another drink anyway. I'd had too many already. Well, I thank God. God's a prayer-answering God, isn't he? Amen. Well, Exodus chapter 15. So good to see my good pastor come in, Brother Eugene Walls. Glad to have him here. Exodus 15, beginning at verse 22, read through the end of the chapter, and then just turn right over to 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, that great recipe for revival. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Then right over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, people that don't even read the Bible are familiar with this verse. Here God tells his people they'll do these four things. He will do these three things. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many knows this morning that America needs God to heal her land? Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Would you maybe just send your prayers up in this direction one more time? Ask God to touch us. Praise the Lord. The Bible said when they were come to a place called Marah, they could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. Of course, that's exactly what Marah means. The best dictionary we know on the Bible is the Bible. That's exactly what Marah means, is bitterness. Amen. You know, there are bitter places along life's journey. We all come to those Marahs, those places, you know, that are bitter, just a bitter experience. We lose a loved one. You know, somebody gets sick, you get sick. Troubles, trials, difficulties, hardships. I mean, just life is so designed. It is that way. They were come to a bitter place, and they begin to murmur, they begin to complain. This is right after God had just brought a great deliverance. They shouted on the shores of deliverance, but now they've come to this bitter place. But Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Bible said the Lord showed him a tree. Lord, my prayer this morning, would you show us once again that tree, which when he had cast into the waters of Marah, I don't know if he cut the whole tree down, don't know if he cut a branch off, a limb off, but he cast that tree into those waters of Marah, and there was a healing stream that began to flow. There was a healing fountain that began to flow. And the Bible said the waters were made sweet. There God revealed himself, and he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. You know, I believe that as a result of the curse of sin, you know, originally, I don't believe there were any bitter places. I don't believe there were any bitter waters when God originally created, you know, that first man and woman and placed them in that perfect environment, that Garden of Eden. It was a paradise. It was a place. Temperature is just right. The surroundings are ideal. I mean, it was a garden. It was a paradise. But now, as a result of the curse of sin, we come to a bitter place. There are going to be some wildernesses along life's journey. There are going to be some dry places, some desert experiences, all as a result of that curse of sin that fell upon mankind. That's a result. You know, we have Mara as a result of the curse of sin. Notice there in the very beginning of the Bible, that third chapter, after the fall of man, God came down and he pronounced the curse there in Genesis 3. First, the Lord said unto that serpent, verse 14, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Now, please don't raise your hand. And I hope we don't have any snake lovers here this morning. I believe what God said. I believe he cursed that serpent. I believe that. I don't like snakes. Where we used to live, you know, we were surrounded by big oak trees. And, you know, it was nothing uncommon to have a big oak limb fall. And I heard something fall, you know, inside the house. My daughter come running in the house screaming. And I went to the door to find out what it was. And there was two black snakes that had fell out of that at one of those oak trees. I mean, they're all tangled up. You know, you've heard the expression, it takes two to tango. Well, they were doing the tango, evidently. But you're looking. Y'all believe in snake handling? Well, y'all looking at a snake handler here this morning. I went and got my son's 20-gauge shotgun, and I gave him a shot. I believe that first shot took care of him. I give them two more for good measure. Went and got my shovel. I think I might have cut their heads off. I don't remember. But I scooped them up and took them and threw them out in the woods. I don't like snakes. Now, I was at a funeral here recently. I heard this at a funeral. They said, the one that was talking about, Larry Dean, you know, said he's the one told this. Said there was these two snakes crawling along one day, and one of them said to the other one, said, are we poisonous? He said, we sure are. He said, oh, no, I just bit my tongue. Amen. I don't like snakes. Amen. God cursed them. And then he said unto the woman, verse 16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, ladies, no offense, God said that. I didn't. I'm just the mail carrier this morning. Amen. But unto Adam, he said, cursed is the ground. There we see. That's the result of Mara. As a result of that curse, we're going to have some bitter places. There are going to be some wildernesses along life's journey. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat thereof all the days of thy life. Here is the end result of that curse. In verse 17 or verse 19, he said, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's the end result. You're going to die. The soul that sinneth, the prophet said, shalt surely die. Shortly after man's fall in sin and the curse of sin that fell upon mankind, in the very next chapter in the history of mankind and in God's Bible, we find the first murder being committed. A few short verses later, the first time a man has more than one wife, the first polygamist recorded in the history of mankind. Until just a few short chapters later, the wickedness of man was so great that God said, I will destroy man. I'm telling you, it's all a result of that curse, the bitter curse of sin that fell upon mankind. When you think of the word curse, you can hear the hiss of the serpent in that word curse. That letter S in the word curse that no doubt stands for serpent, sin, sickness, sorrow, suffering, shame, Satan. You know another word for bitter? Sour. The waters were sour as a result of the curse of sin in the sweat of thy face. Amen. All as a result of that bitter curse, amen, of sin that fell upon mankind. I was preaching recently in Saluda, South Carolina. There was a gentleman there had just recently gotten out of prison. He had been in prison for 5 years. His testimony was on false charges. You say, well, everybody says that. But I believe the man was really telling the truth. His pastor said the same thing. He was in there for false charges. The Lord was with that man, I really believe. He told me, he said it was a demon infested place. He said, I would walk by this man's cell and he would literally hiss at him like a snake. Said the man would hiss at him. He said, I was laying in bed one night in the middle of the winter. He said, I've got two big army blankets pulled over me. They've got the air conditioner running wide open in the middle of the winter time. He said, I'm laying in my cot. He said, I felt something bumping up against me, trying to get in the bed with me. And he said, but there wasn't nobody there. And there wasn't nothing there. Oh, that's bad. I'm telling you, the good news was it couldn't get in the bed with him. Amen. I'm telling you, as a result of the curse of sin in this great nation, we have had the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the war with Mexico, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the Gulf War, the War on Terror, etc., etc. As a result of the bitter curse of sin. As a result of the bitter curse of sin, we've had Hitler, we've had Stalin, we've had Lenin, we've had Osama bin Laden, there's been Neros, there have been Idi Amin, Saddam Hussein, and I'm sorry to have to say it this morning, but we've got Barack Hussein Obama in the White House. We'd never had it if it wasn't for the condition in the hearts of the American people. That's the reason we've got what we've got in the White House this morning. Amen. We've had Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy. Amen. Father Divine, a man by the name of Jim Jones that led over 900 people to their death believing that he was God or was Christ. Every wicked despot known to mankind all as a result of that curse of sin. We will eventually have the Antichrist that the Bible calls the beast who will be Satan incarnate all as a result of the curse of sin. As a result of that bitter curse of sin, we've got ISIS this morning that our dear president says is not Islamic, but evidently they don't know it. Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. We've got ISIS. We've got Muslim terrorists. We've got Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Satanism, every other false religion known to mankind. We've got Christians being persecuted and even put to death for their faith in Christ. Do you know right here in this great nation of America, Christians are being persecuted, losing their jobs, suffering great penalties, losing their livelihood, their homes, on and on as a result of persecution for their faith in Christ. As a result of the bitter curse of sin, there are broken homes, there are broken hearts, there are troubled minds, sin-sick souls. We are literally living in a demon-possessed world this morning, all as a result of that bitter curse of sin. There is adultery, murder, rape, child abuse, rebellious children, racial strife. I've never seen the racial strife that is being stirred right now in this great nation like it's being stirred. My son works at Chick-fil-A. He is taught to be professional. I mean, they've got, they've got the best customer service I know of. Their restaurant is one of the top. But there was a black lady. I'm sorry. Now listen. One of the best friends I had, I don't mean to sound racist this morning, one of the best friends I had, Brother Randy, was a black man. I prayed him through on the job during break time. I mean, witnessed to him, won him to the Lord. One of the best friends I had there at W.S. Newell in Montgomery, Alabama, was a black man, William Steele. I don't mean to sound like a racist, but this black lady and a white lady standing there, the white lady just simply needed a refill. My son, he said, well, we're trained. That's a quick, takes a few seconds. Just get that lady's refill. Didn't know who was first. He got a refill. That black lady, I said another one of the workers there at Chick-fil-A, stepped up and took the black lady's order. And that lady said, I want to see a manager. He's racial profiling. Accuse my son, Brother Gene, of racial profiling. I've never seen the racial strife. It is being stirred even from the top right on down in this nation. But I'm telling you, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. Racial strife, same-sex marriage, killing unborn and even newborn babies, suicide, nervous breakdowns, drunkenness, drug addiction, pornography, insanity, nudity, mutilating the body through body piercing and body tattooing. I'm telling you, the same spirits, amen, that possessed a man we call Legion in the Bible, that was so full of the powers of darkness, over 2,000 hogs were drowned by the evil spirits that come out of this man. I'm telling you, the same spirits, even that are running rampant across this great nation, that are causing people to mutilate and defile this body that's made in God's image. As a result of the curse of sin, we've got cancer, sugar diabetes, tuberculosis, cirrhosis of the liver, Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's, every disease and sickness known to mankind, all as a result of the curse of sin. As a result of the bitter curse of sin, even there are funeral homes. Just I come by one on the way, right down the road. That's a result of the curse of sin. Prison houses, jail houses, rehab centers, hospitals, graveyards. I'm telling you, all as a result of the curse of sin. As a result of the bitter curse of sin, we've got church trouble, dead churches, false doctrines, worldly churches. Amen. Churches that in many places are at ease in Zion, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The greatest, most alarming thing to me, Brother Gabbard, is the fact that there is no alarm, even in the church in a lot of places. Amen. As a result of the bitter curse of sin, amen, the worst of men crucified the best man. Amen. They came to a bitter place, but the Bible said the Lord showed him a tree. Lord, would you show us that tree this morning? Again, I say, I don't know if he cut the whole tree down. Don't know if he cut a branch or a limb off of that tree, but one way or another, he applied that tree to the bitter waters of Marah. And all of a sudden, there's a healing fountain. There was a healing stream that began to flow at the bitter place called Marah. Thank God the Lord showed him a tree. I tell you what, to cure the broken hearts, the troubled minds, the sin-sick souls, the backslider, even the drug addict, the drunk, the harlot, the whoremonger. Amen. Oh, God, that you would show us that tree this morning. Hallelujah. The Lord showed him a tree, and the Bible said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. God, would you show us that tree this morning? I could sum up my message in this statement this morning. All 3 points here in my outline is this. Amen. The cure for the curse is the cross. The cure for the curse is the cross. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what a heal America. Amen. Is that tree that the Lord showed Moses. Some way or another, God pulled back the veil and he looked down through the corridors of time and he saw that tree. Tree. Amen. Oh, yeah, that tree that day. Oh, that was a cure for the curse. Amen. You know, only one time in our great King James Bible is the word Calvary mentioned. You know, there are so-called versions of the Bible that have no Calvary in them. I don't believe the NIV. I don't read it and don't know much about it. But I know there are certain versions, Brother Barnett, that have no Calvary in them. Could you call it a Bible with no Calvary? Oh, the Bible said only one place that it's mentioned. Luke's the only one. The other three writers call it Golgotha. But Luke said when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Thank God for Calvary this morning. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. At Calvary. The other three gospel writers call it Golgotha, but they both mean the same thing. The place of a skull. Amen. Bible scholars say there were several reasons why it was called the place of a skull. Some have said it had the features of eye sockets. It had a skull-shaped heel. It was a skull-shaped heel. And it had those features of a skull. I don't doubt that. But what God in his divine providence allowed Christ to be crucified at a place such as that. But no doubt the main reason that it was called Golgotha, the place of a skull or Calvary, was because of all the lives that had been taken. I'm telling you, the worst of men had met therein at that awful place of the skull. Thieves and robbers and murderers and child molesters and rapists and the outcast of society, outlaws against God and man, had met therein at that awful place of the skull. Oh, it was a place, I'm telling you, as a result of the curse of sin, that bitter curse of sin. You remember even what the penalty for the curse was? Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's the reason we come to the place of the skull. But we don't think about Calvary this morning being a cursed place, do we? We don't think about it being a place of death, the place of a skull. We read over that and don't even give it much thought. But those of us that have been to Calvary, those of us that have been liberated and have been saved and redeemed, amen, by the wonder working grace of Almighty God, we don't think about Calvary being even a place of a skull. Place of the curse. And I'm telling you, they planted the rose in that awful waste howling wilderness. They planted the rose of Sharon there. It was a desolate place. It was a barren place. It was a bitter place. But aren't you glad he drunk that bitter cup for you and I? Aren't you thankful this morning that he drunk that bitter cup, amen, so you and I could be provided with a cure for the curse in that cross? I'm telling you, they planted the rose of Sharon, amen, at that cursed place. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, 3 days later, that rose began to flower forth in the fullness of resurrection glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir, I'm telling you, that it destroyed man's sin, the result of the curse, amen, that had defiled and destroyed. It had left a bloody trail, a devastating pathway in its wake. You could see the trail of that old serpent. I'm telling you, that it destroyed and corrupted mankind, Jesus took it in him. He took that venom of that serpent, even in himself, even upon himself, rather, to provide an anti-venom, to provide a remedy, to provide a cure against the venom of that old serpent, the devil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God the cure for the curse is at cross. Cure for the curse is at cross. I'm telling you, you're the result of sin, but this man had no sin. Oh, yeah, the soul that sinneth it shall surely die, but this man's done nothing amiss. I'm telling you, he had no sin nature. He never had to go back and apologize
for one thing he ever said, for one act he ever committed. He never had to go back and apologize and say, listen, fellas, I'm sorry. I acted a little unsanctified when I planted that whip the other day, drove y'all out of the temple, and I just want to ask y'all to forgive me. No, sir. Amen. He was absolutely justified and done everything perfect and everything right. He became sin for us. That he destroyed mankind, he destroyed. Hallelujah. The scripture said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. He took that he destroyed and corrupted and defiled mankind, and he destroyed it. We don't think about Calvary being a place, a cursed place. We think about it being a place of life, salvation, redemption. I'm telling you, he took that barren, bitter wilderness, waste, howling wilderness of humanity, and he made it a rose garden. Glory to God. Oh, I'm telling you, I love John's account of it. He said, when they come by, amen, they break the legs of those thieves that were crucified with Christ, and they came to break his legs and found that he'd already yielded up the ghost. One of those soldiers took a spear. These are professional men. Amen. They are skilled in the act of taking people's lives. He knows exactly where to put that spear. And he pierced him. And the scripture said in John's gospel, forthwith there came out blood and water. I'm telling you, in that awesome moment, there was a healing fountain that began to flow. Heaven, the bitter waters of Marah were made sweet. Hallelujah. All that waste, howling wilderness began to blossom and bloom as the rose. Hallelujah. The rose of Sharon was planted upon, amen, that cursed hill. But on that first resurrection morning, amen, it flowered forth. It bloomed out in fullness of resurrection glory. Thank God for the cross this morning. And the Lord showed him a tree. Would you show us that tree whose healing waters begin to flow? There's a song that said, oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss the blood washed know. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow. Where the healing waters flow. Where the joy celestial glow. Oh, there's peace and rest and love where the healing waters flow. That's what I'm preaching this morning. Yeah, the curse, then the cross. Amen. But the cure is provided in that cross for the curse, and the healing fountain was opened up. Zechariah saw it. He said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and when sinners plunge beneath that flood, they lose all their guilt and stain. Thank God. Oh, the healing waters begin to flow. Thank God the healing fountain began to flow. Amen. I'm telling you, you talk about the result of the curse. They've taken the one we loved. Their hearts were so sad. Their hearts were so broken. Those followers of Christ, they're devastated. Oh, but yes, he appeared to them, even and told them to tarry in Jerusalem. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I'm telling you, the healing stream come streaming down from the portals of glory. Amen. From the right hand of the Father on high. Amen. He poured out, he shed it forth. Amen. That mighty healing fountain, that mighty healing stream, it come gushing down from the portals of glory. 120. I'm telling you, they were in a waste, howling wilderness. They were in a bitter world. That mighty Roman Empire, amen, rule with a iron heel, even that dead Jewish religious system. But those 120 come out, thank God, full of the joy, full of the victory, full of the life of God, full of the power of God. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, pointed them right back to the prophet Joel, let them know this is that
This is what I want you to notice. That first great Pentecostal sermon, Peter stood up and he pointed him right back to that cross. Amen. The cure for the curse is the cross. He pointed him right back to that cross. He said concerning Christ, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, whom God hath raised from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He took him right back. He let him know the result of what you see flowing around here, this healing water that's flowing around here. Amen. These 120 that are not drunk as you suppose. Oh, but they are full of a power from another world. Life has come out. Amen. Healing is flowing. Life is flowing. Amen. He took them right on and he let them know in that first great Pentecostal sermon. He said concerning Christ again, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Hallelujah. He let them know the result of this river flowing, the result of these healing waters flowing. Thank God, it's that cross, I'm telling you. He shed it forth as healing waters that are flowing. I'm telling you, church, this morning, that'll heal that backslider, that'll heal that broken relationship, heal that troubled mind, that sin-sick soul, that'll heal that sick body. Amen. It's that healing water that started flowing that day from the riven side of Calvary's Lamb. It was just a little stream. It was just a little trickle that began to trickle down the side of Christ that day. But Ezekiel saw that river and he said, it's a river to swim in. It's a river that cannot be passed over. Amen. I love what Ezekiel said. He said, everything shall live whether the river cometh. Everything that come in contact with that river, it brought life. It brought healing. It brought deliverance. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Everything it touches. How many knows we are living in a waste, howling, moral, and spiritual wilderness this morning? Everywhere you look, I mean, you can see the bitter curse of sin. Another suicide, another drunk, another drug addict, another broken home. Somebody else, I mean, in trouble. Everywhere you look, I'm telling you, sickness. This one's got cancer. Pray for brother so-and-so. Pray for sister so-and-so. Got an incurable disease. Oh, God, would you heal our land? Would you heal our land this morning? I read of something marvelous happening in the wilderness. In Isaiah 35, Isaiah said, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, that's against nature. Out there in that wilderness, that barren, I mean, no vegetation, no flowers, no gardens. I mean, it's a wasteland. It's a barren land. But here it is. What's going on? And then he goes on and he describes more of a change of nature. He talks about, then shall the eyes of the blind be open. How many people born blind are seeing? The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. What's going on here? Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. People born lame, crippled, they're leaping, they're walking. And the eyes of the blind, the lame shall walk, and the dumb shall talk. Amen. What's going on here? What's happening? And then he tells us, he said, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Hallelujah. What's going on? Healing waters are flowing. Amen. And the desert and the wilderness is blossoming and blooming as the rose. The blind man is seeing. The deaf man is hearing. Amen. The lame are leaping and walking. Hallelujah. What is it? The healing waters are flowing. Brother Mike Roberts, the greatest change I see, though, is in that eighth verse. You talk about a change in nature. He said, and an highway
shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. I'm telling you, take a man on the highway to hell, born a sinner, born with a sin nature. Amen. We were all children of the fall. We're all crippled from birth. We're all blinded by the god of this world. Isn't that right? But for God to take a sinner, take a man with a nature of sin, and put him on a highway of holiness, change his nature, that's the greatest miracle of all. I'm going to try to hurry and get out of the way. Amen. Try to hurry and get out of the way here. I was preaching a meeting here recently, Stewart's Drafts, Virginia, for Brother Bill Watson. And we were having a real holy roller meeting one night. I was giving the altar call, and some were come to the altar, and some elderly sisters had come for prayer for their children. There's a young man sitting there. I'd been praying for him. He come while I was preaching. I mean, right in the middle of my preaching, he come walking in. I'm so glad to see him. And I'm very careful about going to people, but I felt like going back to him. Eric Rose is his name. I sat down beside him, and I put my arm around him. He had his head leaned over on the bench in front of him. I said, Eric, you know, God knows what you're going through. And, you know, just talk to him a little bit. He understands. And I got up and started to walk away, and I just felt like turning back around. I sat down beside him again. I said, Eric, why don't you just get up and come to this altar? Just need a little encouragement. He just got right up, and as God would have it, Brother Gene, there's two young preacher boys standing up around that front of that altar. I said, would y'all mind praying with Eric? One got on one side, Brother Johnny. One got on the other. They stayed in that altar with him. Thank God for some prayer warriors. They stayed in that altar with him and prayed with him till he prayed all the way through. I mean, I'm kneeling down. I'd preached that night, you know, and I told him, I said, listen, God can heal just as easy for him to say, take up thy bed and walk as it is, thy sins be forgiven. One just as easy as the other. And I'm telling you, the ultimate healing is for him to heal that sin-sick soul. I'd preached that night. I said, to heal that backslider. Amen. I leaned over. You know, Eric, that great big old tears is falling on the floor. And I just kind of leaned over. I said, Eric, I said, you know, it's a universal sign of surrender when you raise your hands. Why don't you just raise your hands up? He just needed a little encouragement. He just raised them hands up. I saw, you know, the look of that sinner, sad, depressed. Oh, but I saw after a while as the light of heaven began to shine on Eric's countenance. Even as it began to glow, raise them hands, praising God. And he prayed all the way through to salvation. There's another young lady. She is praying. She is doing pretty good on her own. You know, some of them sisters over there praying with her. She stood and testified at the end of that service. Said she'd been backslid, but she prayed all the way through to the Holy Ghost that night. Oh, God, would you let those healing waters flow this morning? Let them flow this morning, God, to heal. Heal that troubled mind. Heal that sin-sick soul. Heal that backslider. Amen. Heal those relationships. Yeah, heal that cancer. Heal that sugar diabetes. Whatever it might be, God, would you let the healing waters, let the healing waters flow. I'm going to try to get out of the way here. Can I just give you one more little testimony? I'm going to get out of the way here. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. God bless you. God, I'm just blessed to be here. Hallelujah. My son, now he is a good boy. He's one of the best boys I know, if he is my son. I tell you what, Brother Jane, he had an anxiety attack here a couple of years ago. I mean, let you know how bad it was. We was at one of our fellowship and churches over at Archer Grove. And just visiting, they called on my family to sing. My son played his guitar. My wife and daughter had sung. They come, sat back down. The pastor called on me to testify. And I stood up. My son's still standing up there with a guitar around his neck. I thought, what in the world is wrong with Joel? I could tell, you know, something's wrong. I couldn't hardly testify. And finally, Brother Coombs walked over. He said, Brother Joel, are you all right? He said, I can't see. I mean, he just blacked out. They say it's an anxiety attack. Well, we gathered around for him, prayed for him. God touched him. But I'm telling you, the next several days, I mean, he's got ulcers in his mouth. he, you know, lost his appetite. You know, 17, 18-year-old boy, you can't get enough to eat. Eat all the time, you know. Well, worse than that, these tormenting thoughts going through his mind. We'd went down to Florida, you know, and it's about a 10-hour drive. It went down a few days, and we'd come back on a Monday. We got home, and I'm telling you, I went out into my garage and knelt down at my little altar. We're wore out, you know. I knelt down, and I heard that little voice. I'm going to give Joel the victory tonight. He come around a little while, and he's got that look on his face, you know, just that hollow look in his eyes. He just looked like a hunted animal. He looked at me, and he said, the devil's telling me I've grieved the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, the devil will put thoughts in your mind and then turn around and accuse you of thinking them. I said, son, let's pray. He was ready. We knelt down together. I began to counsel him a little bit, Brother Barnett. I talked to him, and I told him what the Lord told me. I said, son, the Lord let me know he's going to give you the victory tonight. We started praying. We started praying. I'm telling you, them healing waters started flowing. That Holy Ghost river, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's those healing waters. Everything shall live, whether the river cometh. It started flowing. I don't know when I felt the power of God any stronger in prayer than I felt it that night in that garage praying with my son. Not only is it flowing through Dad, but it's flowing through Joel, and God healed him of that anxiety. Praise God. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I felt, amen, the burden to preach this morning, amen, the healing waters. I'm telling you, God can heal your troubled mind. God can heal your backsliding. God can heal your sin-sick soul this morning. He can heal your broken relationship. Hallelujah. He can heal whatever you need healed. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, Brother Randy.